Well, I'm going to call the meeting to order because the clock here is telling me that it is 4 o'clock. And so I'd like to call the April 20th Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order. I want to thank everyone for joining us. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. At this time, I'd like Ms. Cote to call roll call, if she would be so kind.
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Mason?
Here.
Commissioner Newell? Vice Chair Salverson?
Here.
Chair Latchford?
Here.
Thank you.
So by my count, we have a quorum. Is that correct? All right.
This shows yes. David is online, but he's muted.
Yes.
Right.
He informed me that he was picking up his daughter and that he was participating by phone. I'm going to see if I can unmute him.
Is this Mr. Noel?
I don't seem to be getting a response from him.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and continue. We do have a quorum of 4 or 5 here, and I'm sure he'll be joining us.
Chair Latchford, I do see that
he... I'll be here in about 45 seconds. I'll be back on camera.
Gotcha, David. Thank you. All right, let's turn to the Pledge of Allegiance, and you'll be honored today to have me lead you. So if everyone would please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, thank you everyone for joining us this afternoon remotely. As I review the attendance that I'm seeing on our participant list here, it seems that most everyone has been attending meetings of the council and various commissions previously, and I believe we're probably familiar by now with the mechanics of participating in the meeting, whether by Zoom or by telephone. However, if someone would like to hear the instructions to do so, when I ask you to please raise your hand and be recognized by staff. And let me just tell you how to do this, although I think most of you do know. For those participating by Zoom, you go to the bottom of your page and scroll down and select the participants icon from the bottom. This will open up a dialog box that lists all the participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you will have the option to raise your hand. It's a little easier, I think, by phone. If you're here listening to us by phone, merely press *9 to raise your hand and press *6 to mute your microphone when completed. So at this time, I will be willing to read further the instructions on how to participate if you need be, but you should have your hand raised at this point. And I am not seeing any raised hands. So that being the case, now let's see, Oro Valley Chamber is asking to be unmuted.
No, I don't see that, Chair Latchford.
Okay. And you have... All right, so I believe that we have everyone has knowledge of how to, if we do get to the point of having to open up the floor for audience participation, I will give further instructions at that time. This time I'm going to move to the agenda portion that is called to the audience. And if you wish to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon on your computer as I just described to you. or pressing *9 on your phone now. Allison, do you see any?
There's nobody, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right, at this time, then I will close call to the audience. And we are going to move to the staff liaison report. But before Mr. Gebhardt proceeds, I hope all of you had the opportunity this morning to see the announcement that came out that for the 13th year in a row, the Government Finance Officers Association has awarded the town of Oro Valley the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for its 2020 budget. So David, congratulations to you and your staff. That continues a streak that is not to be broken. We'll do everything we can help you to make sure you get that 14th. So our congrats to your staff. In the meantime, I'll turn this over to you, David, for a staff liaison report.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission. Just a several items to discuss with you this evening. As you're probably well aware, the council did take action. They accepted the recommended solution from the commission at the last council meeting on PSPRS funding. And so that that hybrid solution that was recommended, that is what the council directed staff to load into our proposed budget for next fiscal year. So so thank you again for all of your efforts in reviewing all of the options from the consultants and making a strong recommendation to the council. I think we are in a very good position moving forward with respect to PSPRS and solving this funding status issue. Additionally, I'd like to kind of discuss, I know it's on the agenda tonight, but kind of discuss the budget. But really what, I don't want to get into what we're going to discuss later. What I'd really like to do is just encourage all of you at this point to tune into the budget study sessions on May 5th and 6th. That we will be having with council at that, you know, at those study sessions, those are really designed to have a, you know, a lot of dialogue, field questions from council members, really try to get that. There'll be presentations made by department staff, our executive leadership team in terms of presenting department budgets, presenting the CIP, the five-year forecast, et cetera. So there will be a lot of information that will be included in those budget study sessions. And so just wanted to encourage each of you as commissioners to tune in and listen in, and hopefully, you know, we will have a more discussion on the budget at our regular May meeting. And so I think to the extent that you can tune in and listen to those study sessions, I think that will help familiarize yourselves with the budget and also provide more healthy discussion at our next Budget and Finance Commission meeting. So, additionally,
David, can we participate?
Tobin, is Tobin still on? Tobin, do you want to answer that?
Participate how?
Ask questions.
In what? In a council meeting?
Well, it's a council study session.
That's going to be entirely up to the chair.
So it's
entirely up to the chair.
So it's up to Mayor Winfield.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if we dial in, it might save a lot of time and effort, et cetera, if we could participate. So maybe David or John, maybe you should approach Mayor Winfield and ask the question.
Let me ask you this. I was going to bring this up at the portion about the budget, David. So, but since you opened Pandora's box here, I'll jump right in. We received the recommended budget yesterday, and I know your timing Would it be useful, and we mentioned this before, to have the commission members review it over the next few days, maybe to a certain date in front, and put questions together that they would like to ask and submit them to you, which would be available for the council members to either ask themselves or see what the questions were. It might even give you some time to respond. The director, we talked about this. If we were asked the commissioners to take a review, at least a run through, and submit questions to you, say by April 30th, that would provide some time between April 30th and May 5th to be able to synthesize all those questions. And of course, commissioners can still ask questions when they come to the May meeting, but this way they've got some information out there, at least the questions they would ask. And you know, it may or may not be useful for the council members, but at least it'd be on record and they can take a look at it. So that's what I was going to pose and see if both the commissioners and yourself, David, felt that might be doable.
Yeah, certainly, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, I think that's an excellent idea, and I would certainly strongly encourage and support that recommendation for sure. I think to the extent that we get those questions in advance, I think that just facilitates, again, better discussion even for the study sessions with the council, but also the upcoming Budget and Finance Commission meeting, the regular one in May, where we would have a discussion over the budget as well.
And if the questions are shared with the mayor and the council, they may decide that they want to include the questionnaire into their discussions or invite the author to come in and ask the questions a little deeper. That's their prerogative. So.
Certainly.
I'm going to have to jump in. This is a report. We can't solve anything right at the moment. So. On the agenda, so. Go ahead, David.
Yes, okay, so next, so tomorrow night, we do anticipate that the council will be approving the strategic leadership plan. So that is on the agenda for tomorrow evening at the council meeting. So I just wanted to mention that. And then also on the agenda tomorrow evening, a couple, I'll say larger items. One is the annexation of the Westward Look, and then also expanding the utilization of our half-cent sales tax and removing some of the restrictions with how that half-cent sales tax is used. So a couple large items on the council plate tomorrow. I just wanted to highlight those, and then I was going to highlight the outstanding work of my team, Wendy and Michael, Wendy Gomez and Michael Dykman, on achieving the Distinguished Budget Award from GFOA. A lot of effort and work went into that document again, and it's amazing to me, incredible to me, that through a pandemic in my first year, and they're dealing with different expectations of a new boss and all of that, that they were able to achieve that award on behalf of the town and kind of keep us rolling. So just wanted to highlight that outstanding work and very proud of the effort that they put into that. So with that, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, that concludes my council, my staff liaison report.
Okay, do any of the commissioners have further questions of Mr. Gephardt and his report? No, okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we're going to move into the regular session of the agenda. And I'm going to proceed to item number one. Allison, could you please read that into the minutes?
Agenda item one. Review and approval of the March 16th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. I hope the commissioners have had a chance to take a look at the draft session meeting minutes from March 16th. Are there any comments or questions from the members regarding the minutes? Hearing none, I'd like to call for a motion.
I move the minutes be approved.
Second.
All right. Mike, was that you that moved to the approval? Jim, okay. Gosh, you guys look and sound alike. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh. All right. So I think he just insulted you, Mike.
Oh, man. All right. Must be the hair, huh?
Angle. Anyway, motion made by Commissioner Beasley and seconded by Vice Chair Salveson. Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, let's move to item number two on the agenda. Allison, please read item number two into the minutes.
Agenda item two, Budget and Finance Commission recommendation of approval of PSPRS pension funding policy to the Town of Oro Valley Town Council.
All right, thank you, Allison. Mr. Gephardt, you want to kick us off with this discussion?
Certainly, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the Commission. So I have attached a draft PSPRS pension policy for your review this evening. I received actually comments from all of you regarding proposed changes for next year's pension policy. Some of those changes were a little bit easier to incorporate than others, but with that said, so you'll notice that you know many of your comments have been incorporated and some of them have not. It's not that I disagreed with the comments that weren't incorporated. I felt like I needed a little bit further direction and maybe just broad commission support as to whether other types of changes should be made or not. So I think the structure of the document is really sound. I think we had a good foundation to work off of. And even at the last Budget and Finance Commission meeting, I think we made some good headway just in terms of, running through the document just really briefly and kind of getting the discussion started. But I think there's probably other changes that you as a commission may wish to make to the document. And so with that, I would like to open up the floor to you as commissioners and see what other further changes you deem necessary for the policy for next fiscal year. So, if you want me to run through the current policy as is, I can certainly do that. But just for the sake of time and whatever, I think I would my recommendation would be just to open it up and see what other, like I said, what other changes you deem necessary as a commission so that we can get this approved hopefully this evening, and then submitted to council at a future council meeting, most likely in June. This will be incorporated into the overall policy changes, the town financial policy changes that you had already approved, I believe, back in December. Those changes still have yet to be presented to council. Council has those draft financial policies, but they have not been presented. I've been kind of holding off because my attention's been really directed in other areas, namely PSPRS, and I wanted I didn't want to bring the policies to the council on two separate occasions in such a short duration of time. So we've been kind of holding off. Plus, the council has had plenty of other items, large items on their task list and agenda that they've been dealing with. So these eventually will get to council with the full package of recommended financial policies. But I'd like to hear what other changes what other changes are necessary this evening so that we can hopefully check this off our list. So
Let me have just a point of clarity here for the commissioners. Tonight, we would like to get to the point of recommending through a motion a final document that's going to go before the council. That final document would be incorporated into the revised financial policies that we worked on earlier, and the council would receive it at that time. Is there not a deadline on having this policy approved? It has to be annually approved. So when would that have to be accomplished?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, it really ought to be done prior to July 1st when we kick off the new fiscal year, because it would be applicable to this next fiscal year, the policy would be. So, and, you know, as you'll recall, you know, because it's PSPRS, because the council has made the direction to staff to move forward with the recommended hybrid option on funding, you know, there are some big, you know, expenditures or outlays early on in the fiscal year that are planned for next year, namely the $10 million contribution out of reserves, but then also the $17 million pension obligation bond debt issuance. You know, those items we hope to accomplish very early on, probably the first week of July. You know, and get that money funneled into the plan so that we can, as quickly as possible, so that we can start earning, investment return on those monies throughout pretty much the entire fiscal year. So.
Okay, so let's then proceed to get to a policy that we want to recommend tonight. Let me open up the floor. Jim, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
David, have you sent out another revised policy based on the comments that have been made to you? Right now, I'm dealing strictly with the one that was sent out like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission, the one that I attached to the agenda item should incorporate most, like I said, most of your emailed comments to me, those changes. I received comments even this afternoon, that those comments wouldn't obviously be included. I think they're good comments. I think they're good changes. I can certainly include those recommended changes to the policy, but by and large, I think what I attached to the agenda item for this evening's meeting should incorporate most of your comments. Now, some of the comments, it was a little bit challenging because some of the comments, there seemed to be a little bit of overlap. And so, you know, and I'm always a little bit wary of duplication. And so, if one commissioner is recommending, making a recommended change in one area of the policy, and then another commissioner is making the same type of recommended change in another area of the policy, that kind of leaves me a little bit in limbo as to what really is the best place to make that change. I think, so there may be some of that you might notice in what has been submitted to you this evening as an attachment to the agenda item, but again, I figure it's a lot easier to delete than to add. So if we need to, if we want to change something or delete something, that's very, very easy. So.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, I understand, David, this particular policy, which was attached to our agenda, isn't reflective of anybody's particular draft. It is just a culmination of work that you put in with everybody's comments or didn't include them. So I suppose one of the things that we would need to find out is if there's anything else that we're either missing or should have put in. And David, Commissioner Newell, would you?
Yes, I have 2 points. One is at the bottom of our goals for 2024, 2028, and 2032. I think that the fact that we're trying to get it to 100% makes those superfluous. So I don't know if we really need those yearly goals there. Second, on the bullet point above those yearly goals, it says in fiscal year 24 and subsequent years, the town will continue maintaining a 100% funding ratio. I'd like to change the next sentence where it said, if the funding ratio continues to be at least 100%, to if the funding ratio grows to over 110%, the town manager budget process may apply funding to other town priorities. The reason for that is we know that the fund traditionally grows at 5.3%. We know that they actuarially expect the fund to grow at 7.3%. Over a five-year period, 110% should bleed down to 100% within 5 years. So I think as long as we're not over 110%, there's no danger in us having extra funding there. As soon as we get over 110%, looking past that five-year window, then we start thinking about maybe we should start clawing some of these payments back.
Comments from other commissioners on Commissioner Newell's recommendations?
I think that's a good idea. Because, there's going to be volatility in investment returns. Although the actuary is going to try to smooth out how those investment returns show up on the annual report. And they're going to smooth it out over 5 to 7 years, typically. So if the funding ratio gets above 110% with a smoothing factor, chances are the investment returns are going to be quite good relative to the assumptions. So we need to make sure that we understand that. David, in terms of talking about your recommendation, David Newell, it's probably not a single year that we would want to look at that 110% or 100% funding. I think we should probably look at it over a factor of several years. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. Because I think you're going to see volatility, you're going to see up and down. And if you try to micromanage it every single year, that won't work.
Yeah,
I think we have to watch out for if that does fall below 100% 1 year. I think if you don't deal with it and make an appropriate payment to get it up over 100, that we don't want to get back to where we're all of a sudden at 95 or 94. I think we're going to have to look at it on an annual basis just because things change. Assumptions can change. The investment returns can change. A lot of things can change. So my only concern is that if we don't deal with it when we see it the first time, is will it get out of hand? What are your thoughts there?
Well, maybe we need to experiment with it a little bit over some period of time.
Yeah. Well, I think the actuarial
reports in, we're going to see everyone. I mean, we're not going to see the impact until the 24 actuarial report. So obviously we have, we'll wait till then at least. And then once we're past that, we can start getting a feel, because I just think that we're already making a lot of payments to PSPRS now between reserves and our normal ARC, plus these additional payments, that, do we want to kind of give some flexibility that if we are at 102 or 103, and the town has other priorities, should we leave it up to the town to say, well, let's put this money on something else this year instead of trying to achieve, you know, a balance?
Again, I just want to make the point that the assumption and the way this process works by holding that 43.5% contribution rate, we can anticipate that that is what's going to keep that standard 2% drop every year compounding. So I think that we understand that we're at 100%, 101%, but we're still making that larger contribution rate, and that is going to account for the predicted underperformance of the fund over time. I just think it's appropriate to say for a policy states that we don't have to worry about pulling funds out or not contributing that full 43.5% unless it gets to an upper number. And I think that 110% is appropriate just because that's what a five-year normal bleed would be. You would basically say as long as it performs average in 2024 and you're at 110%, then you know that by as long as you keep doing what you're going to do by 2029, it should still be at 100%.
So we put in a range, an upper and a lower. You know, if it goes below 95% or it goes above 110%, then we need to, there's got to be some action.
I mean, it does say that if the ratio falls below 100%, future payments will be made to restore the funding ratio back to 100%. So I think that covers it.
That covers that.
I just want to have an upper ceiling so that, and I want it reasonably close to 100%, because so that people don't feel that, you know, that they understand that there's a logical place where we know that it's in good shape and we don't want to keep putting extra money in. And I think that five-year window in 110 makes sense and is something that a policymakers can swallow as, you know, that's achievable. Now we're good. Now we can come down off that 43% for a bit.
And of course, the policy that we're putting together right now is only good for 1 year.
Right.
So it will come back to the commission through the council if the council desires. And so this will give us a starting point to be able to work on next year if the council accepts this particular policy. And David Gephardt, I believe the council did not take any action on the policy itself. I don't think they saw it, did they? No. So this would be coming forward for their review probably sometime before July 1st. So okay, so anyway, 110%. I'm gathering from all of the commissioners that they're in favor of this. Is anyone not in favor? All right, so David, can we change? So this is back to fiscal year 24 and subsequent. We want to change the funding ratio to 110%.
So Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the Commission, what I've got here is in fiscal year 24 and subsequent years, the town will continue maintaining a 100% funding ratio. If the funding ratio grows to over 110%, the town manager through the budget process may recommend applying funding to other town priorities. If the funding ratio falls below 100%, future additional payments will be made to restore the funding ratio back to 100%. Does that cover it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just let me ask a question regarding that. All of the determinations of what we're going to be putting into future payments came out of the study that we presented with CBIZ. I don't think we're invalidating any of their findings by changing anything here. But it's something you might want to just tick off when you get back to your office, David, to make sure that we haven't, because those recommendations went in front of the council. We don't want to send something up to council that says, do this, and then want to find out that that invalidates the results coming from, I don't think it will. I don't think it's that material since it's so far out, but it's something we will probably want to be sure of before we present a policy to the council.
I think that, you know, CBIZ in their analysis did show that if the pension program had returns of, for instance, 7.3% as opposed to the 5.3 base assumption, that the funding ratio could go as high as 146% or something like that. So I don't think we're creating any conflict here. We're just simply recognizing that there might have to be a trigger point where it doesn't make any sense for the town to throw a lot more money into it. And at right. the same time, there's a downside trigger point that yeah. says that if the investment program is not performing, or if something happens that the town creates or is created for it a higher set of liabilities on this pension plan, then you could go to that downside level and create more funding. So I think the band is in there and described by David, I think it works for me.
Does the board notify you, David, if they're going to do any assumption changes in advance? Or do you just find out when you get the report?
Commissioner Mason, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, I am aware of assumption changes. The PSPRS does kind of, advance release some of those assumption changes. The only one I'm aware of currently, I don't anticipate that they're going to make any changes to the assumed earnings rate at this point. I think that 7.3, everything I'm hearing is going to remain constant. But the payroll growth assumption that has been historically calculated or assumed to be 3.5%, that change, they are planning on dialing that back in 0.5% increments till it gets to 2%. And then when they get down to 2%, then they're going to reevaluate that. And it could go down, they could dial it all the way back down to zero to where they're not assuming any sort of payroll growth into the actuarial models. But right now, like the actuarial, like they have a tool that the plan has, the actuaries in the plan have a tool that they make available to participants. And that tool does include that payroll growth assumption dialing down to 2%. So that's really the big one. That's included in their current actuarial assumptions and models and forecasts for future contributions.
Thank you.
Okay, so yes, Jim, I agree with your points regarding the reserve that's probably built into the CBIZ projections, but I was just being my normal cautious concern self. So. Other comments regarding amending the proposed policy in front of us?
What's the timing, and is this, you know, should we include that in there as well, David? You know, this policy will be reviewed annually during April and updated or approved, you know, obviously before the start of the next fiscal year, or before the budget process starts or something like that. Maybe we should add that in there as well, if it is only good for 1 year.
Vice Chair Solverson, Chair, members of the commission, it does state in the first paragraph that that the council shall annually assess the status of the town's PSPRS trust fund. It says annually there. That's kind of a duplication, probably should just remove that and take formal action to update this policy in concert with the final annual budget approval. So this is really the intent of the policy, as I read that, is really to work, in concert with the normal budget approval process of the town. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we want to be too specific in terms of timing or not. I mean, I'm open to that. Certainly, we do have guidelines and deadlines that we have to maintain and abide by in Arizona revised statutes and Arizona law with respect to the budget process. So, and when it's, when we have final adoption of the budget. I don't know if we want to be really, really granular with that. I mean, I'm open to that suggestion, I guess, or.
How about at minimum, last approval date at the very bottom or something, just adding that in there. Although it does say it's pension funding policy FY21-22.
Right.
So that indicates it's only 1 year.
Right.
I think the point that you made, David, really is kind of recovered in this final annual budget approval. If we want to tighten that down, maybe we just say per Arizona statute. Because isn't it required that the town have a budget honored for July 1?
Yeah, I mean, Commissioner Beasley, members of the commission, that's correct. So there's two pieces here. And I'm not sure how we want to, maybe we don't want to address, or maybe we want to address both of them. I'm not sure. But one is the budget adoption piece, which is, pretty specifically defined in Arizona revised statute. The other is that this policy is also now specifically defined by Arizona revised statute. So they both have their own specific statute dealing with annual adoption or annual approval, whether you're dealing with the policy or the budget. So, they don't have to be the same, obviously. They can be really different, but they are intended, I believe, to kind of work in concert with each other. And obviously, the policy impact potentially, if necessary, impact the budget that the municipality puts forth to its governing body.
Doesn't the Arizona statute 38.863.01 just simply say annual? I don't think it targets a date, does it?
No, Commissioner Beasley, members, it does not specifically target a date. It just says that it needs to be updated on an annual basis.
Okay, but what we have done is we have linked it into the budget approval, which creates that target date of July 1.
Yes.
I think that makes sense because that's kind of a guideline for a piece of your budget.
Absolutely.
Right? I think it maybe not be stated directly, but I think but whenever the budget's approved by the council, this policy needs to be approved. I mean, it's generally what it comes down to. So do we still see the need for a change, or? I think I'm okay with it as written, as long as it's tied into the budget process. Right?
Yeah, and I'll just jump in and add, this year, and I don't know if it's going to be this way every year, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, but this year, all of the policy changes are scheduled, slated to go before council for approval on, I believe, June 16th is their regular, let me check my calendar here just to double check that, but I believe it's June, I want to say it's June 16th is their No, June 20th. I'm sorry. June 20th. No, I'm looking at July. Hold on. June 16th. I was right the first time. So June 16th, all the policy changes are slated to go before council for approval. And that is also the time frame or the date that we have set forth for final budget adoption, because we're, according to our budget calendar, we're hopefully going to have the tentative budget approved and adopted on June 2nd. So tentative will be approved hopefully June 2nd, and then final adoption on June 16th. So there really is no difference there in terms of time frame. The council will get both of these items on the same evening, on the same council agenda for approval.
Okay. With that said, do any of the other members have any other comments or changes or questions for Darren? All right, so the only change that I've heard so far is regarding fiscal year 24 and subsequent years, we're going to change the funding ratio to 110%. And I haven't heard of any other changes.
Are we going to take out the 70, 80, 90% funding targets?
Yes.
Or keep that in? Because we're not, we're trying to be at 100, right?
Right.
Okay, so yeah, I think, we would remove that funding ladder there.
I think, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the Commission, just a thought there and a comment. And, you know, I'm open to removing those targets. I tend to agree that they're probably not going to be necessary. But with that said, 2024, we say, you know, because we're, you know, last year when we went through the process, we were going to try to kind of ease our way into this or set specific targets to kind of ladder up every 4 years until we reach that 100% status, funding status. Now that, you know, our strategy has obviously shifted, that 2024 is still, I believe, an important date and an important target for us, because, you know, as one of, you know, I'll say Commissioner Mason's comments and feedback in terms of the payments to PS Garrison, just that section right above that where it talks about, and I believe this came from Commissioner Mason, in fiscal year 21, the town will make approximately $2.9 million in payments. And, you know, we have those bullet points established there. One of the things that we tried to make clear in the policy is that we're not really going to see the impact in funding status of the changes or the option that was approved by council. We're not going to see that impact literally until 2024, because it will be, the funding will happen in fiscal year 2022. That 2022, June 30th, 2022, when the actuaries, calculate all our liabilities and, you know, our actuarial liabilities, and then they calculate our actuarial and also market value of assets to come up with our unfunded status again, that will impact rates as of 2024. And so we're really not going to see, I mean, we may see it in 2023. We may see that funding status creep up to close to 100%, hopefully 100%. But we may not see it literally until 2024 in terms of the impact of it, because of just the timing of things. There's a 2-year lag between when the actuarial study is done and when those new rates take effect. So I just wanted to throw that out there. You know, I don't know if, I mean, I'm open to removing that, I'm open to increasing it. I mean, if we want to say, you know, our target at 2024 is now 95% or 99% or 100%, I'm open to that as well, but because it's a target. But I think it's still a meaningful data point that we need to be looking at to see, you know, whether the proposed fix that the council took action on, you know, and that you recommended, whether that proposed fix got us to where we needed to get to or where we hope to get to And maybe, again, maybe that's not necessary and it's just superfluous, but I still think that it's meaningful. So just a thought.
Yes, David, Commissioner Noel.
Perhaps we want to, as you know, make a statement from, you know, in line with what David just mentioned, is that we do not anticipate the policy, the loan dispersal or the large payment to show up until our 2023-2024 statement. Does that make sense, David? That way there's no anticipation of, we made this big payment, why hasn't it made a difference in the report that's going to come out in December? And that's because it won't have been made to be calculated. So maybe we could add a phrase in there that says this payment will hit on this year's report. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Commissioner Newell, members of the commission, we tried to hit that in the second bullet point where it payments to PSPRS will be as follows. If you see in the second bullet there, it says in fiscal year 22, the town will make approximately $3 million in payments based upon a 43.57% contribution rate, plus a one-time $10 million payment from reserves and an approximately $17 million payment from pension obligation bond issuance. The two additional payments will not be reflected in funding ratio until fiscal year 2024. So we tried to hit it there, but you know, I don't know if we want to try to call that out even, you know, try to highlight that, I guess, even because it's kind of buried in the bullet, but it's there. So
maybe just say by the PSPRS in their funding ratio until fiscal year 2024.
Or if you want to make it a separate bullet so it stands out more, you can do that too.
A sub bullet.
Make it one.
I'm just curious, David Gephardt. When CBIZ put together their recommended option, and they did so to get a result of present value as compared to the other options appropriate, did they ever provide a sliding or a riding scale of what those results would be from year one through year 20 or whatever the amortization is? It would have had to have done that.
Yeah, Chair Latchford, Vice Chair, members of the Commission, on their calculations, their models, I was able to see, you know, based upon the assumptions, again, on earnings, et cetera, contributions, all of that, I was able to see on an annual basis what their projected funding ratios were. But with that said, again, it's those calculations really are done kind of in real time on a spreadsheet versus what we're getting from the actuary is really kind of a look ahead as to what, because it's impacting contributions. And so it's in those, you know, that look ahead is really literally 2 years from when the calculation or when the report is made. So, you know, that our most recent report, actuarial report, it was as of June 30th, 2020, because that was the last full fiscal year that the actuaries could make a calculation on, and that impacts rates as of June 30th, 2022. So again, there's kind of a lag there that we're going to see. We're not going to see an instant impact, you know, to these contributions in the actuarial report. There's just going to be a little bit of a lag there, probably a couple years. So. You know, I think in CBIZ's calculations, they are a forecast and an estimate, and they're going to be wrong because we know that, you know, they're estimating 5.3% return, and we know that the return is not going to be an even 5.3. It's going to be something else. So, you know, it's either going to be greater or lesser than that. So, does that answer your question, Chair Latchford?
Yes, I think probably we're trying to take a look at the future here, where this is going. We're taking a number of substantial steps at this time, that are going to have material impact on the organization. And so I guess there will come a time that somebody may say, so what happened? And so I think just looking ahead, I think what we've put in here in terms of recitals for the payments is appropriate. I think probably at this point, my feeling is removing the funding ratios of 70, 80, and 90% probably makes sense, since they probably don't reflect exactly what we're doing with the payment process that we have from fiscal year 21 through fiscal year 24. So just a future reader, unknowns to what's behind all this, might attempt to connect the two, and that may not be appropriate. So back to, and I can't remember who recommended this, but I think it might be a good idea to remove the funding ratios at this time. And let's see where the payment program winds up and what impact it really does have. We will eventually, in a couple of years, know what the results are.
Can I throw something else out there? And I think it's not necessarily for this document, but for in a couple of years, I think it would be of value maybe to add the current balance of the $17 million loan, because I feel like what's going to happen in a couple of years is you're going to look at Appendix A, and it's going to go from these, you know, 62, 45% to suddenly 100%. And kind of to your point, somebody, you know, later down the road is going to, wow, how did they do that? And I think it doesn't tell the entire story, because I think we still have a liability. We're going to pay the $10 million. We're still going to have a $17 million liability. It's going to go down every year for 20 years, but it still is associated with this. And if it looks like you're 100% of the way there, you're kind of really not, because you're still paying. So I would suggest that in future years, we add that to that Appendix A.
No, I think that's a very good idea, Kathy. I really do. I think that you're right. All we've done with the $17 million is move it from one end of the balance sheet to the other.
And, well, you got to remember that the $17 million is going to PSPRS. We're still paying the debt service, which is kind of a separate animal. So you don't
It is, but it's associated with it.
It's associated, but they're kind of separate, because really the debt service has no impact on the funding.
Agree.
Not on the funding.
I agree with that a little bit.
You're still paying a debt, but you have the debt on the books, and you have that shown in other places. But so.
Right.
Well, we've got a couple of years to deal with the debt, so.
Yep.
Okay, so David, I've got two proposed changes. Is there any others that
I had some just little kind of formatting nits. I don't know that they have to be necessarily discussed, David, right?
Yeah, Vice Chair Salverson, I've received those comments, and I can incorporate those very easily. They're just, like you said, they're just little nits.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, if everyone is in a good spot, let's make a motion and get it seconded and see if we have any further discussion. So I would like to call for a motion. Everyone's okay. I will make the motion to move to approve the Town of Oro Valley updated PSPRS pension funding policy as amended from our discussions this evening to be incorporated into the final document to be brought forward for Town Council approval. Can I have a second to that?
Second. I'll second that.
Okay. The same duo, right? Same group. All right, so we have a motion, we have a second, further discussions. Okay, hearing none, then we had a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And David, we'll, if you don't mind, just to make sure everyone's in a comfortable place, if you'd mind changing that policy as amended tonight and just sending it out to everyone. I don't expect any feedback, but just to make sure we got everything appropriately put into the policy. And I hopefully we will have completed our assignment here and we'll get it before the town council and it's incorporated. I know we still have to go through the budget process. Let's move on to the next item on the regular session, and that's item number 3. And Allison, would you kindly read that into the minutes?
Agenda item 3, presentation and possible discussion on the town manager's recommended budget for fiscal year 2021 through 2022.
All right, thank you very much. So the recommended budget is out. We'll hold the discussion about next steps and everything until after we're finished. David Gephardt, do we have a presentation or any comments that staff wish to make?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission, we've got our team, our budget team here, myself, finance and budget administrator, Wendy Gomez, and then also our senior budget analyst, Michael Dykman, to speak to the budget before you this evening. We don't really, just to be clear, we don't really anticipate getting into a whole lot of detail for you this evening. As you're all well aware, this budget is, because we needed to kind of make some headway and progress, it is still very much a work in progress. We have some, and I mentioned it even in my staff liaison report this evening to you, we have a couple large items on the agenda that could be impactful to the budget that the council will be entertaining tomorrow evening at their regular council meeting. And so so as we continue to make progress and headway, this was the kind of our first best look at the budget for next fiscal year, understanding that there were probably a couple, there could be some twists and turns in the process. There could be a couple large items that needed to be incorporated prior to a tentative budget going before the council. So with that said, this is a dynamic process. We can, kind of speak in terms of kind of the large overview of the budget and how it's looking and the kind of the significant changes. I would obviously always recommend that you read the town manager's budget message at the beginning of the document. You all have received this document electronically. I fully recognize you haven't had a lot of time to really dig into it. And so I want to be mindful and respectful of that. This has been really kind of a big push just to get it out to you. I think we distributed it to council late Friday afternoon, and then you all should have received it kind of first thing Monday morning. So there was kind of a big effort and push just to get it distributed. But with that said, again, more than happy to entertain any questions that you may have. If you have any, or Wendy or Michael can also jump in and talk about. I mean, we're fully staffed here to kind of have that broad budget. We don't have a formal presentation, but just kind of go through and have the discuss the budget from a broad overview perspective.
Okay. Let me. I certainly understand what the position is right now in terms of the development of the budget. One of the things that, and I haven't read most of it all, I didn't get through all 130 pages last night at bed. I kind of fell asleep when I got to page. No, I didn't. But anyway, the The one page that struck me was page 3 of 116, which is the revenue and expenditures for the general fund. And I was looking at that. I always go to that one because it's pretty concise and it gives you a good sense of what's driving the budget. And without getting into the weeds, so to speak, I was wondering if you or Wendy could give us a kind of a briefing as to how some of these assumptions are, not so much the numbers, but the assumptions we're putting behind them. So give you an example. I look at the first line and I see local taxes and the budget's 20.5 million, which is just a little bit higher than what's projected for this year, but is higher than what we had in the budget. I was just trying to think, I know you do some substantial work on revenue projections and everything, and I wonder if it might be beneficial in just a few minutes' words. Tell us some of the thoughts and underlying assumptions with the revenue going into the general fund.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Wendy, do you want to field that, or do you want me to, or Michael? I mean, I think really any of us can handle it. I'll let Wendy jump in on that, because I think she might be the most well-versed to handle that question.
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Dave. I can definitely address that. Chair Latchford, commission members, just do kind of a high-level touch on some of the assumptions for the local taxes. So we saw during the pandemic, surprisingly, retail continued to grow very strong. We average about 4% per year growth in retail each year in general. And we didn't really see any slowdown in that at all. Another area where we've seen a lot of growth has been the online collections. Those grew tremendously over the course of this year, and we budgeted very conservatively for that category. And so that's probably a good chunk actually of the year-over-year budget increase, quite frankly, is seeing those actuals come in and be able to bump up that budget for that line. But continued growth in retail, we are starting to see some recovery for restaurant and bar. So those have some recovery factored in for next year. Bed taxes, we've been a little more conservative on, because those may take a little bit slower to come back. And so those are really the areas that are contributing to that overall budget year-over-year variance. And keep in mind that, you know, last year when we were just in the throes of this pandemic, we really pulled back on some of those revenue budgeted figures. And so when you're looking at it, you say, gosh, you know, a nearly 13% year-over-year budget increase, you know, keep in mind that we really peeled back on some of those budget expectations, really not knowing how COVID was going to play out. And, you know, thankfully, the impact's been much less than what we feared. So that's really what's driving those increases there.
You had something I wrote down the comment. I don't know exactly where it was, but it was state taxes, delayed collection of filings. And my question about that is, if that's a delay, is that going to be, are we going to recognize that the following fiscal year? Mm-hmm. So there would be a bump up that year? Is it just because we've pushed out the date?
Yes, Commissioner Silverson, because of COVID, as you may recall last year, that deadline was extended. And so that does impact those income taxes. And we do get those collections 2 years after they've been collected by the state. So.
Okay, so
yeah, we'll expect to see that look a little wonky for a bit.
Okay, a bump up next time. And then the other thought I had was, I'm sure, and this is just, you know, super overview. First of all, we did a great job spending money. My household contributed to the tax revenues. But what I'm wondering, is there any thought about toward the end of the year, people traveling, snowbirds leaving, people just not wanting to be here for the heat of the summer. And so playing devil's advocate a little bit, I think people that are here are going to be going out if they can. But what I'm wondering is, are people going to be traveling? And this is our season, right? And we'll get spring again next year. That's still in the fiscal year. Just kind of thoughts on that, or is that just too hard to micromanage? And who knows what's really going to happen, right?
Well, I mean, furthermore, Commissioner Silverson, we do always assume slow summer months. You know, that's generally what we see. You know, June, July are really kind of our low months in terms of sales tax collections. And so we already kind of look at those trends seasonally adjusted and factor that in. So I wouldn't be too terribly concerned about that. I mean, that's something that we'll definitely keep an eye out for. And that's difficult to gauge sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, just keeping a close eye on any of those trends that we're seeing and adjusting accordingly.
Okay. And thirdly, congratulations to you guys. Awesome on your award. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I see under licenses and permits that we're going to have a significant reduction from where we're projecting to come in for this year, although it does increase to the budget for last year. Are you seeing slowdowns in the housing market here in Oro Valley, especially in the development and permitting?
Chair Latchford, we are not yet. Those are still just rocking and rolling. I think we are going to come in, when I looked at the numbers last, potentially over 500 SFRs. Was that correct, Michael, in terms of what we're looking at? I mean, those are just coming in tremendously. And so we've had a very strong year for fiscal year 2021, but going into 21-22, we have assumed a little bit of a slowdown just because there was so much activity this year. And so we have that budget assumed at 275 single-family residential permits issued next year.
So let me catch up with you. 500 this year, fiscal year?
We could be approaching 500. I don't have the exact number at my fingertips in terms of year to date, and I'm sorry I should have, but Michael may have those figures, and if not, we can get those to you at a later date. But.
No, I think if you're going to come in around 500, you're going to have to declare a victory and just move on. There's nothing to defend there, so
yeah, it's incredible. I want to say when I saw the number last, which was maybe a few weeks ago, And I saw kind of a current estimate. Michael may have shot that out, but I was thinking to myself, I don't think the number's been that high in my entire time here since 2000. Wow.
So are you being too conservative under license and permits, or is that too soon to ask?
Well, we do tend to err conservative when we budget anyway.
I know you do.
Always better to underpromise and overdeliver.
I absolutely understand that.
Is the town running out of space with all these new houses coming in? Or?
No.
Pretty soon it's going to have to go down, I think, isn't it?
We have assumed that in our five-year forecast for quite some time, albeit in reality, I think it's been happening a little slower than what we anticipated, but that is something that we've continued to include in our forecast, absolutely.
Okay, so that's, maybe still needs to be developed a little more. I'm not going to tell you to go out and increase it, but everything I'm hearing is that the housing market here is just not stopping. So can we just talk about the federal grants and how that's going to flow through for the 2 years? I'm seeing, of course, that for the fiscal year 2021, we have federal grants of $11.3 million. If I read this correctly, that includes the CARES Act that came through last year, and it's going to include one half of the most recent ARP plan. Do I have that right? So,
yeah,
so we're pretty confident that the ARP is going to come through. Do we have? Has that been acknowledged, or is that been noticed? And the difference being they've sent you paperwork saying, yes, it's on the way, or notices just that they've made it public to you.
Yeah, Chair Latchford, members of the commission, I haven't received formal acknowledgement or any sort of grant documents in relation to the ARP as of yet. I would anticipate that we would see something hopefully probably next month, the month of May. I don't anticipate that we'll see anything this month, although the state could surprise me. Everything is funneling through the state as a pass-through entity. So, I think according to the Act, the funds were required to be dispersed 60 days after the final approval or signing of the Act by the President. I believe that was, I want to say March 3rd, don't quote me on that, but it was early March. So we were thinking, you know, I wasn't quite sure whether that 60 days included, you know, the time that it would take to pass through the state, I think the state had maybe a month that they could hold on to the funds before they disperse. So then we could be looking at maybe a 3-month window before it actually hit our account. So then that would push us to roughly June 3rd. So that's where I'm thinking we'll probably receive something soon. But we have not received any sort of final notification or grant award documents or anything like that, either from the state or from the federal government that I've seen.
Okay, all right. So, at this stage, it's probably something that doesn't really impact the budget all that much, such as a little bit of what you've got coming in is going to go out. What you have in for this coming fiscal year's budget, I guess it's the second half of our ARP, and that's just all funneling into the capital fund, most of it. I shouldn't say all of it. That's don't have all my details yet, so I'm still learning. But that's how it's being funneled through the 2 years. Okay. You're starting up grants and contributions. Is that where you're putting these funds through? So you'll have both the revenues and the expenses going through that new funding account?
Yeah, so Chair Latchford, members of the commission, the Grants and Contributions Fund, we're not actually funneling the ARP monies through that fund. The ARP money will be housed, I believe most of it, if not all of it, is still housed in the general fund. Portions of it may find its way and transferred into the capital fund for utilization for large capital projects. We're still working through kind of the specifics of how those funds will be utilized, and we really can't finalize those specifics until we receive Treasury guidance, in terms of the specific uses and what's allowable and what's not allowable from a cost standpoint. So we're still waiting for that guidance from the Department of the Treasury. Once we receive that guidance, then that will go a long ways towards determining how that all gets reflected into the final budget document and which fund it gets reflected in.
Gotcha. So does this new grants and contribution fund, has it got a limited lifetime to it? I mean, do you anticipate that we'll be getting other grants and contributions coming through?
Chair Latchford, members of the commission, we anticipate that this is going to be an ongoing fund that's utilized in perpetuity for the town because, we have not had this fund in the past. I think what we've seen is those both federal and state and other types of grant awards that the town has been awarded, they have had the impact of really making it difficult to identify one-time resources and really determining whether we have a structurally balanced general fund. Right. We've seen more volatility in our general fund as a result and an impact of that. So what we're trying to accomplish is really trying to, and I know this is not going to be a good year for it because of the ARP funds. It's kind of that odd situation, but we figured, moving forward, we hope that we will have general fund that really is better reflective of a structurally balanced, really demonstrating a structurally balanced budget for the town, and then also the impact of that the fund has of really demonstrating that that we're in compliance with the utilization of those grant resources, whatever grant resources they are moving forward, that we're in compliance. You know, it's easier to demonstrate that when it is housed in its own separate fund versus being kind of buried in the general fund where you're seeing it, you know, those, you know, the grant expenditures really, you know, sitting side by side with other types of operational and ongoing costs of the town. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very familiar with that. Okay. Let me turn to my colleagues on the commission. Yes, sir, Mr. Beasley.
A couple of things, David and staff, that would help me and hopefully others reviewing this budget. Number one is, I think when we're showing charts and graphs here, and we're doing percentage changes, I brought this up before. I would love to see the budget compared against actual prior year. I think that is a better comparison and a better analysis to see where the town is actually going in terms of any of the incoming flow of funds or outgoing. Comparing next year's budget to last year's budget with all kinds of economic changes and cash flows, I don't think is a good comparison to see where you're actually at, okay? The second, it's kind of a net and it's kind of not. We're looking at revenues and expenses. And a lot of the stuff that's in there is not really revenues. Revenues, more or less, are providing products and services, and you're generating cash flow from that. What we have in the revenues category is that plus grants, plus debt, plus other stuff. I would really rather see, you know, the recommended budget summarizations, et cetera, looking at receipts and disbursements or sources and uses rather than revenues and expenditures, because I don't think you've got revenues in there. You've got a hodgepodge of all kinds of sources of money. Does that make sense? And I don't know whether you're handicapped or not by either history or GFOA recommendations on reporting and budgets or whatever, but I think it'd be easier for people to understand where this money is coming from and where this money is going.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in there, Commissioner Beasley. I appreciate those comments and in that perspective. You know, I think there are different ways to skin this cat, and you see a, you know, just across local government, you see a wide range of different approaches to the budget document. With that said, you know, local government budgeting on a modified accrual basis of accounting is different than what you see in the private sector. And so I you know, if you're used to, you know, having seeing revenues and expenses budgeted, and they truly are revenues and expenses, and then you're getting into the local budget environment and you're seeing a budget document and you're seeing transfers in as a revenue and transfers out as an expenditure or a debt issuance as a debt issuance proceeds as a revenue source, that is kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's it's universally adopted across the local government spectrum, but I think you'll find more often than not, especially as it relates to debt proceeds or even grants, those are budgeted as an inflow of resources. They are budgeted as revenues. They get reported in the CAFR a little bit differently because they're a below the line, what I consider a below the line, not grants, but because that's intergovernmental, that would be above the line, but transfers and debt proceeds are kind of a below the line reporting issue, meaning that they don't actually get included as revenues in the CAFR document. They get reported as an other financing source or an other financing use appropriately in the CAFR document, but they have to be budgeted. They have to provide that capacity, and that just is kind of a, you know, more or less a standard practice. I think, you know, if you look at transfers, I'll deal with that one really specifically, because you know, it just, that one seems to be problematic for a lot of people when they're not used to local government budgeting. The impact of transfers between funds really has the impact of doubling up your budget overall, because you see the resource, you know, whether it's a reserve or an inflow of resources, and then you see the transfer out of one fund, and then you see the transfer in to the new fund, and then you see the outflow of those resources and how they're being utilized as an expenditure out of that new fund. And so you see that kind of doubling up impact to the overall government budget. And there's not really a good solution to that, unfortunately. Again, that's just kind of is the way, the best practice of GFOA and kind of the universally accepted way of you know, budgeting those transfers. But, you know, again, I appreciate the comments and the feedback. You know, we could look at, you know, and we've talked about this even internally, looking at how we budget those transfers, looking at how we budget, you know, because again, we do show them as, you know, it's called revenues and other sources. And, you know, as I think about local budgeting, local government budgeting, I tend to not think of it in terms of a revenue. I tend to think of it as a resource to a fund or a requirement of a fund. And so, you know, it's really, there's different ways, like I said, to skin this, to demonstrate it. You know, I think what we try to do, what we've tended to do historically is show, you know, the total that you see, you know, if we look at page 3 of 116 in the general fund specifically, that total of $46,493,121 that we're projecting, that really is a total resource to the general fund, not a total revenue line. And so, and you know, likewise, if we look at the total outflows out of that fund that includes the transfers out, the $60,496,013, that really is a total requirements figure of that fund, not really a total expenditures number or expenses number for the fund. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light on it. You know, again, there's different ways to do this, but the way that we budget really is a short-term approach. It's the modified accrual basis of accounting. It's a short-term focus approach to the budget document, which is best practice. That is GAAP for local governments, even on an accounting standards basis. So, and that's going to be relooked at, revisited. GFOA is doing a comprehensive review of their standards for revenue recognition and expenditure recognition, and so that is something that will likely change in about 4 or 5 years, but this is what we have in today's environment.
Is there a way of identifying, for instance, on the as it's shown here as revenue and other sources, as non-repetitive sources or not likely repetitive sources? I mean, like federal grants, debt issuance, I mean, things along that line, so it makes it easier for people to understand.
You know, Commissioner Beasley, members of commission, that's something that we are, you know, that's why we set up the grant and contracts fund. That's something that we're going to be working towards in the future. Again, really trying to identify those one-time resources and one-time expenditures and culling those out of the general fund budget, which really ought to represent something that's more operational and ongoing in nature. With that said, we're never going to get perfectly there. Even with, you know, in our licenses and permits, and we talk about, you know, either, well, our SFR permit revenue and fees that we charge, we have to make an assumption that a portion of that is going to be ongoing, which we kind of try to target as something that is, you know, more historically sustainable with respect to that activity, and stuff that really is more what we would consider more one time, you know, the kind of, you know, this year being a prime example of that, where we're far outpacing what our normal activity is in SFR permit issuances, that, you know, we're trying to pull that out and say, you know, well, a good chunk of that is really one time, because we know that we're not going to be able to sustain 500 SFR permits year over year. So it's never going to be perfect. We will always, I would anticipate, it's not unusual, we would always have some level of capital outlay in the general fund. You know, and typically capital outlay lends itself to being more of a one-time type of purchase. You know, so it's never going to be perfect, but that's really what we're trying to accomplish moving forward, is really trying to tighten up, you know, that structural balance, and really trying to represent that in a better way, a tighter form or fashion moving forward.
Thanks, Ed.
And if I may, Chair Leffert and Vice Chair Beasley, just for clarification, just wanted to emphasize that the transfers in and transfers out are actually backed off of the budget amount. So those are not included in the town's overall recommended budget figure. Just wanted to clarify that in case anyone was confused about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's because your transfers in and transfers out should equal to zero, right?
Mm-hmm. Always.
I learned that in freshman year of accounting.
Just a quick question. Since we just spent $10 million of reserves, well, we'll be anyway, does the town, are you going to have a plan to recoup those over time, or are you going to kind of change what kind of amount of reserves that you want to maintain, or how are you looking at dealing with that?
Yeah, Commissioner Mason, members of the commission, we don't really have a plan to recoup that $10 million. They were excess. The plan would be as if we changed our 25% reserve policy in the general fund, that kind of that target baseline that we want to have in there as our rainy day fund. If we increased that to 30% or 35%, then obviously then we would have to make adjustments to try to increase the amount to the extent that we were short. But we're not short. The budget that's before you this evening still exceeds that 25% threshold. So we should be good there. And to the extent that we are, you know, our plan is to keep moving forward. If that amount increases, then we may look at trying to expand service levels or take action in the future. You know, that could include, again, you know, all the normal types of things that we would look at in terms of additional capital projects that we would utilize, and or revisiting the PSPRS issue and having that discussion again. So, that would be, as we look forward, that would be the plan for utilization of those excess reserves. But really the intent here is that we don't get to the place where we have been, where we're, you know, if we look at last year's comprehensive annual financial report and perform the calculation of, you know, where our reserves are at in relation to our expenditures, we are at 55%, which is a full 30% overfunded in our reserves in the general fund. There's not really a good reason to be that overfunded. It, you know, per financial policies, we ought to be utilizing those excess reserves for capital needs and or PSPRS funding.
You're still going to be a little bit low in your unassigned, so you may not necessarily. You obviously haven't touched your committed reserve, but I was just wondering if you might want to have a little bit more leeway on the unassigned side, just because you're getting pretty thin down there now.
I think Commissioner Mason, I'll just jump in quickly just to address that. I think that's something that we can look at because we are, just like the PSPRS policy, our financial policies really ought to be looked at and revisited on an annual basis. And so as we look at that in future years, that is something that we may want to take a look at as a recommended change.
So Commissioner Mason does bring up an idea, a little bit of a difficulty that the budget has internally and from a structural standpoint, and that is that we are taking $10 million out of reserves to put it into the unfunded liability. Of course, that's what's in the budget right now. Will it be there when we finally sign off and council approves it at the end of July, June, excuse me? So, I guess as a comment on that, the budget doesn't reflect any of the subjects that the council is currently handling at the moment, including the annexation, some sales tax review. That's not in here at all at this point. Is that correct? A good statement? So there are some things that haven't gotten into the budget yet. I don't know whether they're positive or negatives, but it always reminds me of my budgeting days when I used to think I was at the finish line and somebody walked in the door and said, well, did you remember to do this? And so I don't know that, the $10 million's not a given yet until the council gets through it and sees how it fits within everything else, which I guess is going to, a lot of that will occur on May 5th and 6th, or 6th and 7th, whatever the dates are, where there will be discussion amongst the council as to whether or not what should be in the budget at the moment. Is there any other major projects out there that is not incorporated in the budget that we need to be aware of?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I don't believe so. I think, there's... just one of the issues that if you've been watching, dialing into the council meetings recently, the acquisition of the former Rancho Vistoso golf course, I don't think that's going to have a significant budget impact to the town. But that's still kind of, as I'm aware, kind of hanging out there. The irrigation project is another significant potential change. So if you'll recall, we budgeted this year, I believe, about $1.8 million to kind of kick off the irrigation, replacing the irrigation for our 36 holes of golf at the El Conquistador courses. And that project, we got our bid back, and it was cost prohibitive, so we didn't accept the bid, and so we're looking at different options there, which means that we will probably not have our golf courses shut down for a couple months, or I don't remember what the time frame was, but I want to say it was 2 to 3 months during the summer, while they started with one course and then hopefully finished up the following year. That's probably not going to happen this summer. So we've got our golf operator reworking his budget estimates as to what that looks like. I think there's the Push Ridge course, there's some investments there. I believe most of those, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I believe most of those are incorporated, but there could be some changes even with that moving forward. In terms of capital investment with the Push 9 course, I'm trying to think, Wendy, are there any, am I missing anything? You know, the half cent sales tax is a big one. If that comes back into the general fund, which is what will be under discussion tomorrow night, that budget change will have the impact that we will have to then subsidize out of the general fund into the community center fund, make a transfer there, but then utilize the balance of whatever is remaining for a bonding, a repayment source for bonding. So that could have a pretty significant budget impact, in terms of the overall budget, because that bonding then, and we don't know what the amount is, but it could be as high as $20 million, could be a little bit higher than $20 million of bond proceeds then would be loaded into the budget. And then also additional parks capital, potential parks capital improvements. So there's a lot of moving parts and pieces here before we get to tentative, and tomorrow night should really be a good, as well as the budget study session should be a good indicator as to where things go moving forward.
Okay, any of the commissioners have any other questions for David and Michael and Wendy?
So we're going to target making comments or adding questions for you and try to get that in by the 30th. Is that what you want to do, John?
Correct. I was going to propose that if we're on agreement that we would put into written form questions and comments that we could submit to David. We would do that by close of business on April 30th, which is a Friday. We would only send them to David, not to each other, so that they're, since they won't be available for public view until we get to our next meeting. So I wanted to get everybody's concurrence that was something that would work for them. I think would also give David, his staff, and also the department managers an opportunity to see if they're getting redundant requests in, and at the same time enable them to have some time to develop responses. Obviously, I'd like to see if we can cover them at the May meeting. But again, the questions and comments could be made available to the council if they so desire. And then regarding the budget, I was wondering, that may not be available yet, but I was wondering if the commissioners could receive from the staff the budget detail report, if it's available. That helps me make less intelligent questions. Sometimes I can figure things out by looking at the detail report, sometimes not. But it is a very helpful tool to have to be able to see what's causing some variances and not. So I was wondering if we might be able to get that. We've had it the last number of years. So would that be all right with you, David?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, no issues there. We will make sure that gets distributed to all commission members.
Anything else that we want to discuss regarding the budget while we're here this evening? I know most of you probably haven't read the 140 pages so far, but we'll work on it. We're an industrious bunch. With that, I'm going to move on to item number 4. And Allison, you want to read that into the minutes?
Agenda item 4. Discussion and possible action to change May meeting date.
All right, thank you, Allison. So a request has been made before the commission to change the date of our May 2021 commission meeting from May 18th to May 17th, which is a Monday. And also, by the way, as many of you probably now know, it's a tax day. So you've got to get your taxes done by Sunday, because on Monday, the 17th, you're going to be meeting in the Finance Commission, Budget and Finance Commission. Also, it's a very important move because we're going to be accommodating David in his graduation day for his daughter, who's graduating from high school, which I certainly am empathetic with since my granddaughter is graduating a week later from high school as well. So I won't be in town for that. So at this point, we'd like to move the May regular session of the Budget and Finance Commission to May 17th, a Monday at 4 p.m. See if that has any problems for anyone. Anybody else have any more graduations to bring? Okay. At this time, hearing no objections, I move that we change the regular Budget and Finance Commission meeting from May 18th to May 17th at the regular time of 4 p.m. And I have a second to that motion.
Second.
All right, second by Commissioner Mason. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Change is made. We'll look forward to seeing everybody on Monday, May 17th at 4 p.m.
Are you going to bring pictures, David?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to bring pictures, David?
Yes, I will.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
That means the budget's not done, so.
Yeah, Commissioner Mason, thank you. Her graduation's on the 18th. Obviously, there's a conflict there. I would really like to attend that rather than, I mean, I enjoy, love seeing all of you, but kind of would like to be at my daughter's graduation. So,
like a deal.
Yeah, I can probably bring pictures the following, maybe the June meeting for you all.
All right. Well, I almost got through the entire commission meeting, keeping things under control. But let me see if we can bring it home. I don't see Council Member Nicholson on the line. Is he with us for his comments as council liaison, or is he? Allison?
I'm not showing that he's here, Chair Latchford. Okay.
All right. Then we'll have to have him in another month, and by that time he'll have a lot saved up to tell us. Next, the future agenda items. Does Commissioner have any future agenda items they want to be considered for the agenda of the Commission? All right, hearing none. That is the end of our Commission meeting. I'd like to at this time have a motion to adjourn from one of the Commissioners.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Newell, a second by Vice Chair Salverson. All those in favor to adjourn, say aye.
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 Aye. And those opposed, none. We are adjourned at, time of the day is 5:48. I'll send you pictures. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.